Peace are yours from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, here we are again. It's the end of the year. Now, I know what most of you are thinking, but Vicar, we still have the rest of November to get through, and then the entire month of December. But I promise you, I haven't gone crazy, I haven't lost too much sleep, I haven't shaved my head a little bit too close to the brain. What I'm talking about is the church year. You see, this Sunday is the last Sunday in the church year. We've gone through the journey of the church as through Advent and Christmas, Lent and Easter, and the season of Pentecost, and now here we are, the last Sunday of the church year. So how did it go? Were you able to keep all of your resolutions? Now, don't get me wrong. I understand that you and I don't really set resolutions for the church year. We set them for the actual new year. And I tend to wonder sometimes, this whole tradition of New Year's resolution. Well, I looked it up, and historians believe that this habit or this practice started way back with the Babylonians. Every new year, they would make a promise to their gods that they would either return an item that they borrowed, or they would do some sort of service to them. They would make new oaths to their kings or install a new king. You see, and the hope was that if through this year they kept their promises, they kept their word, they would be in their God's good books. But if they didn't, well, you didn't want to go there. It's funny how that's changed to what we have today. Because today you and I don't make resolutions to God or to other things. You and I make these resolutions to ourselves. Now, there's all kinds of resolutions, but I think they really boil down to two different categories. You have your self-improvement, I'm going to start a new hobby, I'm going to read a book a month, or I'll finally start exercising, or I'll eat healthier. And then you have your resolutions that are your big-ticket items for the next year. I'm finally going to go on that trip to Europe. I'm going to visit all 50 states. I'm going to go see my family that I haven't seen in years. Or maybe we'll spend more holidays here at home instead of traveling. You see, this habit of starting resolutions is so common that come January, there's going to be tons of pictures on social media or in the news about keeping resolutions because it's so common in our society today. Just as it's also incredibly common to know that come February, we've almost all given up. At the end of the day, these resolutions all really just say the same thing, though, don't they? I just really want this new year to be better than last year. So look around. It's November now. How's it going? You aren't like me, right? You haven't completely forgotten all the resolutions you were so excited about in January, have you? See, sadly, what tends to start out as new year, new me ends up as same old. And normally, and sinfully, this is about the time you and I start to look around and compare. We don't mean to do it. It's not our desire to do it. But as the year kind of goes on, we tend to look around and see, are we measuring up? Are we as successful where we wanted to be this year compared to so-and-so? You see, in just a few days, Thanksgiving is coming up. And it's going to be a joyous time where we're going to gather around the table with family or friends, and we're going to consider all the things that God has given us and the many things that we have to be thankful about. But then after that, there's going to be that wonderful, high, holy holiday in American culture called Black Friday. My goodness, the sales that people will line up for hours to wait for. They'll camp out in tents or in sleeping bags because this is the stuff that they need. I mean, they would never pay full price, obviously, but this is stuff that they need, and now they have to get it. Thanksgiving was a great day to get stuffed, but now it's time to get stuff. But why? Why? I mean, let me be fully transparent here with you guys. I'm not trying to say that I'm immune to the idea of a good sale or that this whole idea of getting new stuff somehow escapes me. When I see advertisements for the new iPhone 11 or a Google phone, I look at my phone, which works just fine, I start to think, well, maybe it is time for an upgrade. When I see family going on trips, I can't help it. I sit down at the computer and I look up the cost of a flight. You and I, we're constantly looking. You see, this looking makes it really hard to show hospitality and to share this hospitality with one another, because you and I are constantly looking and checking to make sure that we measure up. Are we keeping up with one another? And we forget Christ's command to show hospitality. I mean, at best, we forget. And at worst, we actively ignore the command just so we can catch up for a little bit. We're so busy looking out for number one. See, in our text today, Saul was looking. I mean, to be more clear, the Bible says that he eyed David because he was jealous. You see, David had just struck down Goliath and saved all of Israel. And he didn't do it with a sword and a shield and some come from behind victory. He did it with a sling and a rock. And this David wasn't even a trained veteran in Saul's army that he could point to and say, look at this product of my military training. He was a shepherd who just wandered into camp. David wasn't even fully grown. He was a youth. And yet somehow this youth slew Goliath. Now Saul is returning to his kingdom. The women come out with songs and tambourines, and they sing, Saul has struck down his thousands, but David has struck down his 10,000s. Saul doesn't like that. In fact, to this, Saul says, they've ascribed to David 10,000s, but to Saul they've ascribed thousands. What more can he have than the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day on. He eyed this shepherd youth because he was jealous. Saul wanted what David had. He wanted the praise and the recognition. And so Saul, the king of Israel, who could have had anything he wanted like that, he was jealous of some shepherd youth. So he kept his eye on David. But who are you keeping your eyes on? Is it the neighbor down the road who got a new Ram truck? The sister-in-law who just got that promotion and can finally afford this family trip? Is it the countless people on Facebook who post photos of their life and you think, wow, it just seems like they're doing it perfectly? Are you keeping your eye on the other parents who, well, they're raising their kids and it seems like they don't have any troubles at all? Are you keeping your eye on people who are in relationships and you're alone this time of the year? Or are you keeping your eye on the past, which seems so much better than the present? You see, there's a lot of things that you and I can look at, but there's really only one that deserves our attention, and that's Jesus Christ, because only by his name are you and I saved. All the things that we have to offer here at this church are useless unless we're offering Christ. There is nobody else that you and I should be watching other than Christ. Because you can want all the stuff that this world has to offer, but you only need Jesus. Because Christ gave up everything so that you could have the gifts of God. It's not for nothing that this sermon started out with a reminder of the gifts that you have. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, these gifts were given by the Holy One of God, and they're far greater than anything you and I are going to find on the rack for 50% off or at Best Buy. So let's make a new resolution today. Now, let me kind of pause for a minute. This isn't some rhetorical move that I'm making in the sermon. This isn't a hypothetical request to make a resolution. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let's make a resolution. Let's look to Christ this year, this new church year. Let's look to Christ. Because only by doing this are you and I even able to show hospitality. Because you and I can't be busy looking at ourselves so much if we spend the time looking at Jesus Christ. Because I'm sure Christ doesn't care if you have the iPhone 11 or an iPod Shuffle. so long as you're loving the people that Christ has put into your life. Christ doesn't care if I'm here in Iowa City or in Bangladesh, so long as I'm sharing the gospel. Christ doesn't want me to look at the stuff people have. He wants me to look at the people. People who are in desperate need for their Savior. People who are doomed to an eternity without their Savior unless the gospel is brought to them. People who need to have others look after their souls, because this is the kind of looking that Christ wants you and I to do. To love others. And to share that same hospitality you and I have received. Otherwise, you and I start to look a lot like Saul. People who have been given the gifts of the kingdom of God. And yet we look after phones and TVs and clothing. And still we're unsatisfied. You and I have received the gifts of God. I know from my short time here at Our Redeemer, you guys hear it plenty. We have received salvation, forgiveness of sins, and life everlasting. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father. You have the gifts of the kingdom of God. And these gifts should be shining through in our lives, our daily interactions with one another, and the world out there that so desperately needs it. This resolution isn't simply about knocking off some big bucket list item off the list this year. It's not about just self-improvement. This resolution is about soul improvement. And it should be your most important resolution in the new year to come. Both the church and the actual new year. So, if you haven't heard it, Happy New Year. Look to Christ. Show hospitality. So be it. Amen. As followers of Christ, keep loving one another earnestly and show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Amen.